The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome everyone to Tend Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and they don't care about us, and we don't care about them. But today is January the 25th, 2016. Just want to thank you all for listening today, and it is a Monday. We have a live show for you today. Looking forward to today's show. So much information to get on to you all. And looking forward to it. But before we do that, of course, we always start off with the important business at hand. That being, everyone continue to support Black Talk Radio Network, please. It's so important that we do in order to maintain and to grow this network where it needs to go, and for you to push, pull, and to carry it where it needs to go itself. Take care of the network and all of the programs that are here on the network that provide you with invaluable information day in and day out, even on the weekends. And so it's so important that we do and continue to support this network. Make monetary donations if you can. Also, tell your friends, tell your family members about it so the network can grow, and we can really get to where it is that we need to be, and that is in a self-determining, free, sovereign state of living, not by someone's decree, but because at our full understanding and acceptance of it, this is what we need to move towards. So continue to support this network so it can grow and give you the information, because there are very, very few networks that are in place right now giving you the type of information that you're getting from Black Talk Radio Network. Yes, there is plenty of celebrity news that's going on, plenty of non-essential news that goes on, there's plenty of non-essential topics, plenty of commercial topics, plenty of consumerism topics that will go around, plenty of nonsense. There is a place for all of that, but the bad thing about that is that we've made it too big of our overall indulgement in information, and that is one thing that we need to change. And here at Black Talk Radio Network and in Tando Radio Show, this is what we provide you with: the things that are necessary and to charge, remineralize, strengthen, edify, and fortify your overall physical, spiritual, and mental being, in my opinion. So it's so important. Continue to support this network. Tell your friends, tell your family members about it, and also make donations not only of monetary ones, but also ones of your time and your service. Actually put this on your back. You know, there's really three types of people, in my opinion. Four types of people, in my opinion. There are pushers, pullers, riders, and watchers. Pushers, pullers, riders, and watchers. The pushers are the people that will help you get to where you need to go. They'll get behind you and push and push. Then there are pullers. Those are the people that stick out their neck for everyone else, and they actually take on the lion's share of the weight. Then there are riders, people that will just jump on for the ride. Then there are watchers, people that will just watch. Make sure that you are a pusher or a puller, because the riders will be shaken off and the watchers will be consumed in today's as today's events continue to unfold. You're going to have to be a pusher and a puller, and we must do this collectively together. And Black Talk Radio Network is one of the best places to do that, and this is what you already know because you're here. And I sincerely thank you for being here. Can't wait to meet you all. So let's continue with today's show. Also, after supporting Black Talk Radio Network, while we're still on Facebook, check out our Facebook page here on Tando Radio Show. That's T-H-A-N-D-O Radio Show. You can find us on Facebook. And there we have articles that we post. And if there's any questions or comments that you may have, you can post them there, and we'll respond. I will respond to you in a timely fashion as soon as I possibly can. So we post some of the news that we have going on and also what some of the shows will be about. So let's take a look at some what's in the news. This weekend I had to really take a little step back because of, you know, just to relax and just to allow my voice to start to heal and everything else. So it was really a quiet weekend for me, but it's never completely quiet. So let's look at some of the things that we posted since the last time that we've been on. Very, very important. Like I said, this weekend was kind of quiet, but let's jump into it. Here we go. This weekend, these were some. This was a very, very important one. And it comes from the nationaljournal.com. And a commentary that I wrote, and this was an article about McConnell's surprise move on War Authorization Authority Act. Very, very important article out of nationaljournal.com. And it is, and I wrote, welcome to the global war until the lights go out on humanity. No, this means endless wars on fictitious characters from all the president's men and women. Here it is that over what they tried to actually speed and put on the fast track to legislation was a war's power enactment. The use of military force authorization. This will give, which is really, really meaningless because all of this stuff is fraudulent in nature, but, you know, let's just go along with the fraudulent program that they said, and as they set out a program, they totally dismantle it towards a complete totalitarian rule over people. Well, what they wanted to do over the weekend, and they knew, one, that the weather was coming, and so they wanted to force, and this was an opportune time to actually try to fast track a bill, and within the Senate there was a bill to change the War Powers Authority, or to give military use of force to the executive branch. This is something that's very, very concerning, and everyone here should be concerned about this, because this means nothing more but than endless wars, and it also means that things are going to be engaging in a very hot shooting war way, more than what's been seen as to date. So check out that article. Very, very important one. Tells a lot. Basically, the expansion of war is going to be put into place. And this was something that has been pushed before, and it doesn't matter who's in, you know, in the White House or in the Senate or whatever. Only thing that really matters is what adversely affects you, your family, and our culture, and the overall global humanity at large. And it's, you know, it's these few individuals that are given authority by default, or are really authority by fraud, that decide so many people's lives, because the individuals will allow them to do that. And that is the real problem that we have here. And I always will say that. Now, you know, it's just so, so true. You know, it's so important that we understand how significant our free will is. So this article you definitely want to check out. The expansion of the war paradigm is going to be extended, or the war theater is going to be extended, and is going to reach into not only our young men, but is going to reach into our daughters also, which is nothing more than a politically, governmental, correct way of saying genocide and depopulation. There's no other way around it. No matter how they try to elegantly gloss it over, no matter what speech they made for whatever threat there is, it's all a bunch of bull. And they're real, then the real agenda, not by these minions that you see on TV, because they are nothing more than figureheads, but they're still culpable because they've decided to give into it at the extent in which they do. Some of them may be extremely naive as to what's going on, but at some point, their naiveness is no longer something that is present. These people, at some level, especially the levels in which you see them, have fully committed to this agenda of governance of people, which means to rule, plain and simple. So check out that article, really good one for you to check out. Next one we had, thanks Daphne, you sent me this one. This is from, where did this come from? I can't see where it came from, but it was a good one. It talks about a Brazilian wasp venom helps kill cancer cells without harming normal cells. Really, really good article. Want to check that one out. It was really popular. So, you know, I'm gonna always say this. For every disease that man has created, God has created a cure. And I'm going to expand that to either by an earth, or something that's in the ecosystem will destroy it. Any and everything that man has put together. And it will continue that way, but yes, there are some things that man can do to disrupt and to destroy the ecosystem, which we see happening daily. But there is something that's great about the natural way of life that has collective fruited, is that it will withstand and endure it all. And it will outlast everything. It will not be defeated, because it is not at war, it's at existence. It's a huge difference. It's at harmonic existence, and that is a huge difference. So it is eternal. And it's so important that we start to understand the hell in which we live in is the one that we've created by surrendering of our will to the underlying civilized way of culture that we've established and given into. It is the living hell. So check out that article, really good one, about a Brazilian wasp venom that kills cancer cells without harming normal cells. Not surprised. You shouldn't be either. This should be actually something that reassures you, that encourages you, and that gives you a different perspective that everything that you've been taught and being schooled on is a lie. There's so much more to the great life, physical, spiritual, and emotional life in collective lives that we live. We need to really take control of it. So, great article. Next one. This one comes from Reuters. It says an exclusive Saudi's Iranian proxy war over Syria spreads to Davos. Yes, during the Davos weekend, there was a private meeting behind closed doors between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and I guess it got heated. You know, great acting, great whatever, but it is what it is. And this is very telling, for it's going to actually momentumize the overall agenda to maintain global war. And so this was something that happened that you need to be aware of, so that you can make the necessary precautions and to take the necessary precautions and to actually facilitate the plan that you're going to need to have in the future as this cross-pollinates into real physical fighting among the nations. So just to give you an indication of where things is going, heads up, and we all need those. Next, we have China. China, and this one also comes from Reuters, China taking self-isolating steps in the South Chinese Sea. Check out this article. Once again, it's the expansion of global war. Then this one came from my man, sent me, this one was sent, excuse me. Oh no, what's this? This one was, Drake came on our show on last Friday, and this was an article out of the Calgary Herald .com. It says surges in fresh fruits and vegetables prices help push up annual inflation. This comes out of the food inflation and the currency collapse of the Canadian currency that's going on right now, and how it's having an adverse effect on the quality of lives there. This is not going to slow down. This is not going to go away. It's only going to expand, and it's going to expand to your dinner table, to your refrigerator, and to your cupboard, and to your home at the design time and at the design moment. No one here will be immune from this, but what you can be immune from is the adversities of it by protecting yourself now, and that's what we're here all about at Tando Radio Show. We'll talk about this a little bit more, but check out this article, really good one. It just really validates and substantiates what our brother Dre was saying on Tando Radio Show, and if you missed that, what he was saying was so powerful on Friday. Very, very good. It was a heads up as to things that are happening and things that are coming and things you need to prepare yourself and your family and our community for. And this is what we're going to do. And we also have, avenues to assist you in that. We will talk about that because we're going to be starting today. Will be the first day of our membership for the classes that we will be teaching in preparedness, in tactical movements, in strategical planning, and in precious metals, how to leverage, what is it about it that you need to know, the history, the intrinsic value of it, the overall direction and the trend that is going into, and how to benefit from it in the future. And it's all about a collective prudence. This is where we all need to come together and establish our own inner society that will deal with the problems and the opportunities and also the blessings that will be bestowed upon us all because of our diligent foresight and preparing for what was coming. So, so needed. So check out that article. Dre definitely spoke on this so well and painted such a picture for you to understand what is really, really happening here. Also, this was the next good article, and this one was the one that came from someone else. I want to really thank my man, Kato Moe, for this. Very, very good article. This comes from superstation95.com, and I just want to thank him for posting this story. And it says, this comes from Sheer Panic. Bank runs have begun in Italy. We've been talking about this for months, how Italy has been in bank runs. And, you know, they say a picture is 1,000 words. Well, there's something that we need to rely on more than just our overall physical seeing of things. We have to be in tune to everything that's going on around us, you know. But there was a great article from Superstation. Sheer Panic, bank runs have begun in Italy. Milan, a run has begun on Italy banks, and with depositors taking out in a panic, fearing they will lose everything if they leave their money, which they don't have in the bank. It's not money, it's something else. We'll talk about that later, and those that will be in the class will learn much about this in a very beneficial way. So check out this article. It's a great picture that's there of the bank run, and believe me, this is what you're going to have to deal with if you do not prepare for what's coming before it happens. I always like to say it's going to be Black Friday on steroids. But the only real difference is that people won't be fighting for a sale or a fad or a consumer good. They'll be fighting for the essentials of life. And if they're that bad during the Black Friday sales, wait until you start to have a run on the banks, or run on the grocery stores, or run on the essential items and the essential staple items that are so necessary for the standard of living and to maintain your overall quality of life, and not even your quality of life, life in itself. Wait until it's a run on those, and the feral acts of people will be surpassed anything that you can imagine. This is why it's so important that you have to prepare when there is no storm. You have to prepare for the storm before it comes. And this one is more than the perfect storm. This one is the genocidal depopulation storm that is going to be sweeping. And it's not anything of fear that I'm trying to push. And never have been. But I've learned something, is that a lot of people that get scared are the very same people that you shouldn't want to have around you, because understand as to what the heck is going on. This is not fear, this is reality. You can ignore it if you want to, but you'll never be able to ignore the consequences of your ignoring reality. So check out this article, really, really good one, graphic one for you to see. And that is going to expand. That's nothing. That's orderly compared to what is going to be seen here, because everyone in this country has been trained how to act, how to perform during a run. And they've been doing it for years, and it's cemented it within our culture. And there's so many people that are going to give into this. That's what your biggest threat is going to be, and that's what we're going to prepare you for. Next article, great article from Sister Davis. Thanks, Sister Davis. Great article you posted in here. Chinese richest man buys 28,000 acres of U.S. wilderness to preserve it. Yeah, right. This has been going on. We've been talking about this so much. This is because the U.S. is in receivership. This is what this means. Regardless of what they tell you, the same thing happened with the London Whale incident, where China was giving, and there's different financial institutions that had to sell some of their key infrastructure to China to make up for what was lost. Pretty much all of Lower Manhattan, the financial district, is now owned by China because of a lot of things. The default on the debt, the payments that you don't know about that haven't been made, the unserviced debt and the insolvency that it has caused, and now the taking of assets is being played out. This is the United States is in receivership, and that means that you are, and everything that you have is also at jeopardy. You need to know these things and how to play this and how to position yourself to where this will not adversely affect you as much as it would have if you didn't prepare for it. So great article. Check this out. This is one of China's richest men, the one that established Alibaba and all of that, you know, other stuff. But this is the play that's been put into effect, and we've been talking about it for a while, and we're going to continue to talk about it until it's time for us to act on things, where we won't have the ability to meet with you all via the radio or by taping of shows, because that day will come. When, I'm not sure. I really don't care when it's going to come. I'm just glad it didn't happen today, because it gives us another opportunity to prepare. But it will come at some time, and when it does, it's complete, it's over, it now is a new way of life that you have to be ready for. So check out that article, real good one, and once again, thanks Sister Davis for the posting. Next, we have another article, and it is from the New York Times. It says, Hale talks race specter on the biggest default in Puerto Rico's crisis. And then the commentary is, payment on Puerto Rico's debt are scheduled for July 1st, 2016 after a partial default earlier this month, which means they couldn't pay, threatening to cut off Puerto Rico's oil and light if they don't reach a deal on their debt. Either way, this is going to be the largest default to date with extensions into U.S. pension funds directly. We're going to talk about that how. Remember what I posted last week when U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew said about Puerto Rico's debt. Check out this article, very telling. Basically, Puerto Rico now is going to start to lose its infrastructure and its sovereignty because they are going to default. It's already, and there is a direct tie into their pension. We'll talk about that later today because that's what today's show is all going to be about. And it's going to, well, I'll get to that in a second. Let me go through this, finish this. Next we have, you know, this one comes from JSMindset.com. The government will never let it happen. The government will never let it happen. That's the mind state of people. That is so false. That is that's cognizance disorder. And that's normalcy bias. Normalcy bias is, and also that pure blind faith. And I always say blind faith is the first step, first misstep to genocide. And you are not those individuals that have blind faith in anything or anyone. You are ones that resonate with the great creator and the spirit that makes you great, your free will, and you're able to discern and see through things way before they happen. This is why you listen to Black Talk Radio Network. This is why you listen to Pando Radio Show. There aren't many like you, but we really don't need, and it doesn't have to be a lot. It just needs to be you. So important. You are different. You are positively different. And that's so powerful. This is why you're here. And we're going to continue to work together with this, and collectively, through collective prudence, we are going to establish ourselves to where we can be much stronger than we were yesterday and able to deal and grow to where we're going to go tomorrow. So check out this article. Really good one. Very telling. Very true. Next. This one comes from Sandy Ridge. Comes from Reuters. It talks about Sandy Ridge, which is an oil exploring company. It says Sandy Ridge Energy exports debt restructuring option. And basically, one of the largest, this is going to be the largest bankruptcy in the past year and a half. This is going to be the second largest bankruptcy, and I believe in a year and a half, maybe a year only. It may even extend for a year and a half. And Sand Ridge is an energy company that can no longer keep up with the falling oil prices and their debt obligations. They are going into default, and they're going to drag so many people, so many companies, and so many standards with them. This is the largest shale oil company going into bankruptcy, which will pull down many with them. Second largest in a year, and the bodies are just starting to line up because that is what is going to happen. Oil also finished lower today. It's in the 29s and 30s. Brent is in just above 30, and WTI, which is West Texas Instrument, is at $29. So it's going to continue to totally purge the debt obligations and the sovereignty that these companies have, or the debt obligations that they have, and they're not going to be able to make them, and it's going to have very disastrous effects. Now, next one. This one comes from Bloomberg, and these two stories go together. With all of these two stories, go along with the other ones listed here on Tando Radio Show. Means if you like and love these low gas prices the system gives you, then smile. But smile now, but be ready to cry later, because the other side of this is going to take way more than it gave. The price of oil in the future will be crazy because of many factors. Some of the factors include war, monopoly, because that's what's happening now. They're getting rid of all of the companies, and they're going to monopolize and establish just one or two or three companies. And when they do that, they can set their price at anything that they want. They gave you an idea and a snippet of it and a glimpse of it when that one guy, I don't even like to say his name, when the one guy took the AIDS drug, bought it, and then started to sell it 10,000 times worth what it cost or what it was before. That's exactly what's going to happen in the future. And also, once hyperinflation happens, and I said the devil never gives a gift of love, only the kiss of death. Very, very important. And this is the story. Halliburton reports a loss as Shell drillers plan more cuts. This is not going away. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is not anything that you should squawk at. And the people that do, let them move away from them. Let them and you move away from them. But you have to continue to do what it is that you need to do. Regardless of what other people think about you, it's not what they think about you, it's what you think of yourself. And what it is that you know that you're doing and the reasons why you're doing it. Don't live your life for someone else. Live your life for you. So important, and the things that are important to you. So check out that article. I'm going to hurry up so we can get into the show. Got just a couple of more. Next we have, and I said crazy but nothing new. Deadly virus leaks from U.S. laboratories in Donbass, DPR Army and intelligence. This is over in the Ukraine. More than 20 Ukrainian soldiers have died and over 200 soldiers in the hospital in a short period of time because of a new deadly virus, which is immune to all antibiotics. So check out this article. This is nothing new. This is what they do all the time, but it gives you a heads up, and there are things that you need to know how to prepare for that if that ever happens and when that happens here as these wars continue to move on. So check out that article. Next one. This one comes from countercurrencynews.com. Leaked email shows government officials making fun of poison Flint residents. Of course. Why wouldn't you think that they would? This was all totally designed. We'll spend some time on this at a later date. I'm going to try to get a brother and a sister on that are actually there in the area and have been affected by this to come on the show for you so that you can see this is why you prepare. For the people that have been there since we've been on Tando Radio Show, if you had been listening, you would have been able to prepare for this in a way to put your family in a position of advantage. And I know because Dre had prepared in Canada, and it served him very well. There was another young lady that prepared when she moved to New York before Hurricane Sandy. She was able to survive it because of the preparation that she made. There are people that were in Flint that actually prepared, and they now had options once things went awry. It's so important to have insight, to have anticipation where you can anticipate, because the failure to anticipate could be too costly for you, your family, your loved ones, and our overall community. Next one. This is the last one. This goes along with the one of the first ones that we posted on Friday or Saturday about the use of military force fast track. This comes from YouTube, but it's about C-SPAN. U.S. Senate warns that the federal government is about to declare international martial law. You need to listen to this short video, and I'm telling you, if you watch C-SPAN, you'll see the conspiracies unfold. And I'm going to say this. This is going to happen. This is definitely going to happen. You can hear it from them or from the minions themselves. One of the things is that they always tell you before they do it. It's a sick code that they follow to the T. So, here we go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to get into today's show. Today's show is going to be about what happened to Puerto Rico. Where did this debt come from, and why it matters to you? And I said, a plan is the key to an opportunity which unlocks your generational prosperity. You have to have a plan because there are things that are happening, and we're going to look at what is going on in Puerto Rico, and then we're going to see what is it that your response needs to be. So, so important. And one of the responses that I believe that you should be taking is that we're starting our membership today, and it's $25 a month, and we're going to be getting you prepared and teaching you so many things through our classes, everything from the precious metals, how to use them, how to leverage them, how to gain interest off of them, how to use them in the future, use their intrinsic value, what's the history of them, which is so, so important, so that you can see why the value of them is so important. And it gives you an understanding on real money and why it's important. Also, we'll be giving you classes on preparedness and the different entities within preparing. We will all talk about that, and this is something that we're going to do as a monthly membership. It's $25 for the membership, and you can email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. That's wolf, W-O-L-F-6, pack, P-A-C-K-1, at gmail.com. If you'd like to get in on it, or you can get in on it through PayPal and actually make payment of $25 to that same email address, and I will send you out a receipt, put you in the class tonight. That will happen 1 hour after Tando Radio Show goes off, and your classes will start there, and they're going to be happening during different stages. If you can't get in tonight, don't worry, we will continue this until everyone that needs and wants the class will be in the class and starting their overall preparation for what's coming. So, with that being said, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to actually learn what's going on in Greece and why it's so important. If you'd like to get in on a conversation at any time today, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 5490-32, pound, and hit star 61. Listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network, and we'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. That's 549-032 pound. To signal the host, hit star 61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for chiming in today and listening to the show. So we're going to jump right into to the show. Very, very important show. We'll talk about this when we come back out of the videos. We're going to, three videos. It's going to take about an hour, which is not that long, really good. But the information in here is priceless, and definitely something that you need to hear. And because what happens in Puerto Rico is going to directly affect you, the individual people that live here in this so-called demarcating line known as the United States of America, through all of your labor, regardless of how old you are or how young you are. This is going to adversely affect you because this is going to be the standard of living that you have that is going to be lowered without a doubt. And how is this going to happen? And why is it going to happen? It's very, very important so that we'll know what it is that we need to do. So we're going to go to this video, and then when we come back, we'll take your calls and your comments, and then also we'll talk about what it is and why this can, why you need to pay attention to this, and more importantly, why you need to make preparations now. Even if you can get whatever you can get, you need to get that and leverage it in a way that's going to serve you and your family's purpose and maintain some form and of your standard of living, and not only that, allow you to be able to navigate through the adverse winds that are coming in, the adverse storm, financial storm that we are living in now. It's only going to get worse. So you listen to Candle Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Let's go to the video.
Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
This crisis offers the best opportunity in decades to finally get Congress and the American people to address the question of what to do about Puerto Rico. Not just in the next few months, but to resolve once and for all the issue of the island's status.
Today, Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez on Puerto Rico's debt crisis, economic collapse of America's biggest colony, and what can be done about it. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Could Puerto Rico become America's Greece? That's a question many are asking, as the island is facing a devastating financial crisis and a rapidly crumbling healthcare system. Puerto Rico owes $72 billion in debt. $355 million in debt payments are due on December 1st, but it increasingly looks like the U.S. territory could default on at least some of that debt. Congress has so far failed to act on an Obama administration proposal that includes extending bankruptcy protection to Puerto Rico and more equitable Medicaid and Medicare funding for the island. Meanwhile, Puerto Rican leaders in the United States are planning a massive lobbying day in Washington in early December to spur congressional action. Well, we turn now to a major address by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez. Juan is also a longtime columnist for the New York Daily News and the 2015 Andres Bello Chair in Latin American Cultures and Civilizations at New York University. He was just inducted this month into the Journalism Hall of Fame, along with, among others, PBS's Charlie Rose, Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes, and Max Frankel of the New York Times. Juan is the author of several books, including Harvest of Empire, A History of Latinos in America. Juan Gonzalez spoke at New York University. His address, titled Puerto Rico's Debt Crisis, Economic Collapse in America's Biggest Colony, and What Can Be Done About It. He gave the speech the day before the Obama administration finally unveiled its first proposal to Congress to aid the island.
Tonight, I will explore a subject that has been much in the news of late, the economic collapse and debt crisis that are currently convulsing the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. What do these twin catastrophes mean for the 3.5 million U.S. citizens who live on the island of Puerto Rico and for the general population right here in the United States? What should and can be done about it by political leaders in San Juan and Washington, given the toxic political divisions and gridlock in the government branches of both capitals. Needless to say, this is a complex topic, one that requires hard work to fully understand. I've been studying closely for more than 40 years the relationship between Puerto Rico and the United States as a journalist, as a researcher and chronicler of Latino history, as a longtime activist in the Puerto Rican communities of the United States, and as someone who was born on that incredibly beautiful Caribbean island, who still has family ties there, and who cares deeply about what happens to my homeland. And while I've written several columns this year in the Daily News and co-hosted some segments on Democracy Now! On the situation, a few hundred words in a newspaper article or a few minutes of a broadcast interview is woefully insufficient to express the magnitude of what is happening. Don't be misled by the one-dimensional reporting in the commercial media or even the business press. The fact is, as pointed out by several radical commentators like Linda Bacchiol in Monthly Review, Ed Morales in The Nation, and Luis Bernabe, the former gubernatorial candidate of the small left-wing Puerto Rico Workers' Party, Puerto Rico is now beset by two distinct but closely intertwined crises. One is fundamental stagnation of its economy that has persisted for decades and is a direct result of its being a colony of the United States. The other is an immediate budgetary debt crisis that has been gathering steam for the past 10 years. These two calamities have now combined to create a humanitarian catastrophe, one that is unraveling far more rapidly than most of us realize. Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla warned recently that his government will run out of cash by the end of November. At that point, there will be no money left in the Puerto Rican Treasury to meet $354 million in debt payments that are due on December 1. This fiscal year alone, the government of Puerto Rico is staring at a $3.2 billion deficit, about 16% of its entire expenditures. After paying all of its operating costs, the central government projects it will have just $900 million available for $4.1 billion in debt service that comes due this year. In other words, only weeks remain to stave off a default that could reverberate throughout all of the U.S. municipal bond market. How did this happen? The average American only became aware of this crisis in June. The Wall Street financial experts have known for years that the day of reckoning was coming. Still, corporate America was stunned when Governor Garcia Padilla announced in a New York Times interview on June 29th and in a televised address to the people of Puerto Rico that same evening that the annual debt service on more than $72 billion in bonds that Puerto Rico and its various authorities and cities had issued over the past few decades is, quote, no longer payable. He thus publicly acknowledged his government was on the verge of the biggest debt default and bankruptcy in the history of American municipal bonds, far bigger than what happened in Orange County decades ago or in Detroit more recently. In the 4 months since Governor Padilla's announcement, Puerto Rico has received more attention in the U.S. media and among Washington politicians than at any time in the island's modern history. The almost daily coverage has surpassed even the last media juggernaut some 15 years ago, when massive civil disobedience protests forced the end of the U.S. Navy's bombing practice on the island of Vieques. It should be noted, though, that Donald Trump's verbal insults to Mexico and Mexican immigrants garnered far more attention from the press this summer than tiny Puerto Rico's economic death spiral. So much for sound bites. It is tragic, but almost routine these days, but it takes a crisis to get the American people to focus their gaze on the plight of 3.5 million of their fellow citizens, to stop viewing Puerto Rico simply through the same tired, stereotypical lens of either sun-drenched tourist destination or economic dependency and welfare basket cakes. But even in the face of such a dire situation, our political leaders in Washington have done nothing about it. The Obama administration keeps talking about technical assistance to Puerto Rico, has rejected any talk of a financial bailout, and has basically done nothing to this point. Congress has even been even more cavalier, with the Republican leadership refusing to amend federal bankruptcy laws to allow Puerto Rico similar protections to restructure its debts as other states have. We must not lose sight of a single fact, however. This crisis offers the best opportunity in decades to finally get Congress and the American people to address the question of what to do about Puerto Rico, not just in the next few months, but to resolve once and for all the issue of the island's status. Puerto Rico is, after all, the largest overseas territory still under the sovereign control of the United States. It is the most important colonial possession in this nation's history. I want to repeat that. Puerto Rico is the most important colony in the history of the United States. Humane and just solutions to the current crisis will not come easily. Last week, for example, Puerto Rican leaders in the U.S. held an emergency summit in Florida to ramp up pressure on Congress and the President to provide some sort of help. Representatives Nia Velasquez of New York and Luis Gutierrez of Chicago spearheaded the unprecedented meeting, which took place in Orlando just this past Wednesday. But the organizers of that event made an unnecessary mistake by failing to fully include supporters of Puerto Rican statehood in their event, and by insisting that only the immediate problems of the island's debt be addressed, not the long-term issue of Puerto Rico's political status. Well, you simply cannot devise satisfactory solutions to a major economic and social problem without having a firm understanding of how that problem came to be. Of course, concrete and immediate action is what Puerto Rico needs, and no one in his or her right mind believes that the status issue will be resolved anytime soon. Certainly not in the next few months, nor in the next few years, possibly not for decades more. But to ignore how colonialism has shaped the current crisis is a gross distortion of reality and damages efforts to devise any fundamental solutions. For those of us searching for ways to assist the vast majority of those affected by this crisis, the 99% of Puerto Ricans, as opposed to the 1% of the island's elite who are tied to the interests of American banks and multinationals, it isn't sufficient to simply cry colonialism or to insist that nothing can be done until the status issue is resolved. Both extremes need to be discarded. We need to dig deep to analyze how U.S. domination of Puerto Rico has evolved over the past 20 to 30 years, how changes in the world capitalist economy have been manifested in our own homeland. It is time we acknowledge that globalization has rendered historic concepts of national independence almost meaningless. You no longer need foreign armies to control the population. When you can read everyone's mail, tap everyone's phone, empty a country's coffers, and paralyze its economy from afar through satellites, instant wire transfers, and simple cancellations of bank credit lines. What is needed is more creative and flexible approaches to defend small nations from foreign domination, to assert national sovereignty in an increasingly interdependent world. So tonight I hope to provide some thoughts on how the current Puerto Rican crisis reached this point, and what solutions will best serve the survival and progress of the Puerto Rican masses. To do so, I will touch briefly on the following themes. The unprecedented nature of the current debt crisis. Could Puerto Rico become America's Greece? How is the crisis directly affecting the Puerto Rican people? Why 117 years of colonialism is central to understanding the crisis? Why Puerto Rico is a corporate gold mine, not a welfare case? How did the island's debt mushroom out of control? Who are the creditors and who are the debtors? How should any proposed solutions be evaluated? Why sustainable energy is key to Puerto Rico's future, and the role of Puerto Ricans in the United States? Most attention so far has centered on the total debt the central government, its various public corporations, and municipal governments owe to Wall Street and bondholders. That debt has nearly doubled in the past 10 years from about $40 billion to $72 or $73 billion. In a letter that Standard & Poor's issued to Puerto Rico on September 10th, the rating agency lowered the island's credit rating to CC, one of the worst ratings possible, even lower than that of Greek bonds. Standard & Poor's noted in its letter that the Puerto Rican government now owes bondholders $13,474 for every man, woman, and child on the island, equivalent to nearly 50% of annual gross domestic product. But that doesn't begin to explain the dimensions of the problem. On top of the bond debt, Puerto Rico owes another $30 billion to its main government employees' pension fund in unfunded liabilities. As Bloomberg News reported on September 25th, the Commonwealth's employees' retirement system, which covers 119,000 employees as of June 2014, had just 0.7% of the assets needed to pay all the benefits that had been promised, a level unheard of among the U.S. states. In 2008, a previous governor, Sila Calderon, the Sila Calderon administration, issued $2.9 billion in debt just to meet its current pension payments. They were called pension bonds. The sale was underwritten by the Swiss bank UBS, produced big conflict-laden fees for UBS, whose representatives have since been found guilty of fraud and are immersed in scores of lawsuits from bondholders who were cheated. Calderon's successor, Governor Luis Fortuño, ended up subsequently ending all defined benefit pensions for new employees in Puerto Rico. But the cash infusion the pension funds realized from that borrowing will run out in 5 years, at which point the government will have to come up with another $2 billion annually to pay for pensions and for the additional debt that it took out to tide it over for these current 5 years, and will likely have to slash benefits to retirees even more. The pension bonds, that $2.9 billion in pension bonds, are so worthless they are now selling for about 30 cents on the dollar for anybody who dares to buy them. Right? Meanwhile, the teachers' retirement system, that's a separate retirement system, the public school teachers' retirement system, is only about 15% funded. The court's employees' system is only about 14% funded. That represents about another $10 billion that the government owes in unfunded liabilities to those.
We'll come back to Juan Gonzalez's speech on Puerto Rico's debt crisis in a minute. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we return to Democracy Now!, co-host Juan Gonzalez, his major address at New York University last month, his speech called Puerto Rico's debt crisis, economic collapse in America's biggest colony, and what can be done about it. In this section, Juan begins by talking about health care funding in Puerto Rico.
In June, the federal agency in charge of Medicare and Medicaid announced that on January 1, it will slash by 11% its payments to 250,000 enrollees in the island's Medicare Advantage program. Despite plans by the federal government to increase Medicare reimbursements to the 50 states by 3%, it's cutting its allotment to Puerto Rico by 11%. The cuts will mean a loss of $300 million a year to Puerto Rico's local government and healthcare system, a system that is already suffering because it's been capped for decades now at only 70% of whatever the federal government gives per capita to other states. The combined impact of the enormous bondholder debt, the massive unfunded pension liabilities, declining federal reimbursements for healthcare, represent a perfect storm that Puerto Rico, with its shrinking economy and depression-level unemployment, cannot possibly withstand without some kind of radical restructuring of its debts in the short term and of its economy in the long term. That is why some of us have described Puerto Rico as America's Greece. Could the island's economic collapse and debt crisis threaten the larger economy of which it is an integral part? Most financial experts you read about dismissed the notion. But then most discounted the possibility that the subprime mortgage crisis would spark a worldwide recession. The skeptics this time include some prominent liberals, such as Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Krugman, who raised the outlandish idea a few months ago that Puerto Rico was simply a victim of geography. Writing in the New York Times, Krugman said, quote, Puerto Rico may, to an important extent, just suffer from being a slightly hard-to-reach island in a time when corporations place a high premium on easy, just-in-time shipments. In many ways, Puerto Rico is worse off than Greece because it has even less ability to act independently than that depression-racked nation. The normal refrain you hear in most media accounts is that Puerto Rico cannot resort to the normal protections of federal Chapter 9 bankruptcy because federal law only permits cities or public corporations within states to use Chapter 9. And since the island is not an independent country, it can't go to the International Monetary Fund to seek some kind of a financial bailout the IMF is infamous for concocting. The island is in this atypical netherworld, they say. But very few go one step further and ask, why is that? If it is neither a state nor an independent nation, what exactly is Puerto Rico? And why is such an important issue, like what happens when a government can't pay its debts, falling through the cracks when it comes to Puerto Rico? The answer is colonialism. The answer is Congress can make any laws it wants when it comes to Puerto Rico, and in the case of bankruptcy, it did just that. First, you have to understand, though, how this whole issue of municipal bankruptcy came about. During the Great Depression, cities in America started being unable to pay their debts. So in 1938, Congress passed legislation that created Chapter 9 bankruptcy. What that basically says is that you have a whole bunch of people that you owe money to, and you can't pay them, and they all come demanding, well, I have the collateral of this building or that revenue stream, and they all want their money. You have to have an orderly restructuring. And you need a nonpartisan person, a judge, to decide how much each of the debtors will get. What will be the reorganization plan? And so this was passed by Congress in 1938 to assist cities that were set by the impact of the Great Depression. But from 1938, when the law was passed, until 1978, Congress had included all the territories and possessions of the United States under that law, which means Puerto Rico had bankruptcy protection from 1938 to 1978. But then between 78 and the early 80s, there were other changes to the bankruptcy law. In 1984, there was an amendment inserted into the bankruptcy law by Senator Strom Thurmond, the infamous Strom Thurmond of South Carolina, and Bob Dole, who were both in the Senate at the time. They stuck in a little notice provision that specifically said Chapter 9 did not apply to Puerto Rico. No reason was given. No federal policy or interest in the change was spelled out in the amendment process. By a few simple phrases in an amendment that few people noticed, Congress laid the basis for the unique situation Puerto Rico now faces. It is not only broke, there is no established legal recourse for it to get a court to decide how the many debtors will get paid or how much. So absent any kind of such protection, there is going to be years of litigation by different bondholders, and the government's going to have to spend millions of dollars in legal fees trying to figure it all out, and there's no roadmap for how that will happen. Much of this came to light when Puerto Rico tried in 2013 to create its own bankruptcy law, recognizing that it had this problem, A group of hedge funds and mutual fund managers, specifically Blue Mountain Capital, Franklin Templeton, and Oppenheimer, sued in U.S. District Court, claiming that the federal law preempted Puerto Rico from doing that. The federal government overturned the Puerto Rico law earlier this year. And in July, the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston, which is the Court of Appeals for Puerto Rico, upheld the nullification of the Puerto Rico law. But even one of the judges on the appeals panel, who said, yes, that's the law, it's Puerto Rico's prohibited from doing this, wrote a stinging opinion outlining how unfair and unjust the federal law is that prohibits Puerto Rico from using Chapter 9. That judge was Juan Toruela, who is one of the most knowledgeable jurists in the nation on the history of Puerto Rico's status. More than 20 years ago, Toruela published one of the definitive works on the question. It's titled The Supreme Court and Puerto Rico, The Doctrine of Separate and Unequal. I recommend it highly if you haven't read it. Well, this is what Judge Toruela said in July about the case before him. The majority's disregard for the arbitrary and unreasonable nature of the legislation enacted in the 1984 amendments showcases again this court's approval of a relationship under which Puerto Rico lacks any national representation in both houses of Congress and is wanting of electoral rights for the offices of president and vice president. This is clearly a colonial relationship, one which violates the Constitution. So you have a federal appeals court judge who's the most knowledgeable person saying, hey, this whole bankruptcy issue is another example of colonialism at work. Now Senator Chuck Schumer, Representative Velasquez, and other friends of Puerto Rico are trying to get Congress to allow Puerto Rico to do what it had been able to do from 1938 to 1978, have the same right as any state to use the bankruptcy laws for its municipalities. But Congress doesn't give a damn about Puerto Rico. So Schumer is trying to do the same thing Strom Thurmond and Bob Dole did back in 1984. He's trying to stick the provision inside some bigger bill that has to be passed, hoping that it will get through. But the reason we're going through this ridiculous exercise in the first place is that Congress has always decided the major decisions that affect Puerto Rico without the voice or the vote of the Puerto Rican people. And that is the essence of colonial domination. This time, though, it's not just Washington that is facing scrutiny about its Puerto Rico policies. Wall Street is feeling the heat even more. And while the big financial experts keep assuring us that there's no systemic threat of a messy Puerto Rico bankruptcy, we should not be so quick to believe them. You have to understand why Puerto Rico bonds have been so popular on Wall Street. They are what is called triple tax exempt bonds. Triple tax exempt means that if you have the bonds, you don't pay your income, you don't pay federal taxes. You also don't pay state and local taxes. Now, most triple tax exempt bonds are only available to the people of a particular state. So if you live in New York and you buy New York bonds, you have triple tax exemption. If you live in California and you buy New York bonds, you don't have triple tax exemption. You're exempt from federal taxes, but not from state and local taxes. So triple tax exempt bonds produce far more return to those who buy them than other kinds of bonds. Puerto Rico's bonds are triple tax exempt to anyone in the United States. Right? So anyone whether you're in California or Idaho or whatever, you can buy Puerto Rico bonds and you have triple tax exemption. It's another example of this Puerto Rico being in this netherworld of neither a state nor an independent nation. So the very colonial relationship allows Wall Street to take advantage and reap even bigger profits. And then Puerto Rico bonds usually pay a higher interest rate, nominal interest rate. So for instance, the last bonds that Puerto Rico floated in March of 2014 for about $2.9 billion paid an interest rate of 8%. That's a nominal interest rate. Now you get that 8% interest, and now you don't have to pay any taxes to the federal government, to the state, or to the city. That's worth like 12% to you. But of course everybody wanted to give Puerto Rico money to borrow because they were making a killing off of the triple tax exempt interest. That's why there was so much willingness on the part of Wall Street to issue these bonds. But I would offer a warning to those who poo-pah any possibility of economic contagion. The weak link of the entire U.S. municipal bond market is a group of obscure companies known in the business as monoline insurers. They are companies that promise bondholders that if a municipality or public corporation defaults on a bond, they will pay the bondholder. Such bond insurance is what provides not only triple tax exemption, but what's called triple A ratings. Right? Those are the safest bonds because even if a government defaults, and they rarely do, this company has promised you you'll get all your money anyway because they've insured the bonds. There's only a few companies, about five or six companies, that offer this insurance, MBIA, AMBEC, there's several of them, Assured Guarantee. Well, a funny thing happened the week that Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla made his announcement. The stock of all of these monoline insurers plummeted. The drop actually started about a week before Alejandro Garcia made his announcement. My surmise of that is that Wall Street had the inside information already that the announcement was about to be made. And so they immediately started selling stock in all of the monoline insurers because they knew these monoline insurers, if Puerto Rico suddenly defaults on all this money, they don't have the money to pay the insurance that all the bondholders will demand on them. And at that point, then, the entire municipal bond market of the United States will be threatened because there's only a few of these companies, and all triple tax, all triple A-rated bonds will suddenly be suspect. So that's the Achilles heel of the municipal bond market that's at stake, that they don't want to talk about too much, but you should keep your eye on as the weeks and months move ahead. Now, what does all of this mean for the people of Puerto Rico? The island has now been in economic decline for the past 10 years, with its gross national product declining by 13%. And as the economy has declined, government debt to pay for basic services has increased. Puerto Ricans now pay the highest electricity rates in the United States, the highest sales tax rate in the United States. It was raised from 7% to 11% just on July 1. Sales tax. They have the highest unemployment rate in the United States. They're saddled with a higher cost for many consumer goods as a result of the Jones Act shipping restrictions that require all ships that bring any produce, any goods into and out of Puerto Rico must be on U.S. constructed ships, U.S. flagships, and U.S. manned ships. That alone, because the rest of the world is using Liberian and Panamanian freighters and is using Greek and Cypriot crews and has much lower labor costs, that alone costs Puerto Rico $567 million a year in extra costs for all of its goods. Now, again, this is a decision of Congress, because only a few miles away, another U.S. territory, the Virgin Islands, was exempted, waived from the Jones Act. So Congress decided to waive the Jones Act for the Virgin Islands, but not waive it for Puerto Rico. These are arbitrary decisions made by a body that does not have any responsiveness to the people that it affects. Workforce participation rates, we heard a lot about that, are hovering at around 45%, as if the Puerto Rican people don't want to work. Well, if you've been subjected to depression-level unemployment rates for 20, 30 years, you don't think that's going to have an impact on the workforce participation rate? Crime rates in Puerto Rico are among the highest in the country. All this has predictably created massive flight from the island and population decline. Population decline. Now, Puerto Ricans are still having babies, so obviously people are fleeing. The estimates now are 50,000 a year. That's 1,000 people a week are leaving Puerto Rico, and this is going to increase as the crisis continues. The flight has led to an unparalleled housing crisis, quite the opposite of New York. The Puerto Rico Planning Board estimates that there are $1.4 million housing units on the island, of which only 861,000 have occupants. That means that one-third of all the housing in Puerto Rico is empty. It's empty. Because there's been an overbuilding of housing, and then the housing economy never recovered. And the average prices, of course, of housing are plummeting, which means that the asset values of Puerto Ricans who have these houses have also been declining. Even before this latest crisis, Governor Luis Fortuño instituted a massive austerity program. In 2009, he laid off 30,000 government workers despite a massive general strike. In 2013, he privatized Luis Muñoz Marín Airport and the Teodoro Moscoso Bridge and the toll highways. He gutted the pension system and raised the retirement age to 67. And that the benefits that people now get will depend on their contributions, not on investment returns. They reduced Christmas bonuses from $600 to $200. You know, they increased employee contributions to 10%. These are all the austerity measures that have already been taken before this current crisis. Ask yourself, could all of this austerity be implemented? How could all this austerity be implemented in a territory that is already the poorest in the Union? Why would Congress and the American people continue to ignore a situation in Puerto Rico where depression-level unemployment has been the norm for decades? You can't understand why unless you grasp how colonialism had developed in Puerto Rico. Ever since the U.S. occupied and grabbed the island in 1898 during the Spanish-American War, Washington and our corporations have dictated the rules of the game for the island's inhabitants and used Puerto Rico as a source of wealth. This was made possible by a series of U.S. Supreme Court decisions back in the 1900s that gave legal cover to the U.S. holding of a colonial empire. And one of they're called the Insular decisions, and that's what Judge Toruella writes a lot about. One of those decisions, Downs versus Bidwell, for instance, Justice Edward White ruled that only those parts of the Constitution apply in U.S. territorial possessions that Congress chooses to apply. Puerto Rico, White concluded, belonged to but was not part of the United States. That was, in essence, the legal defense of a colonial empire, that you could have territories that belonged to you but were not a part of your nation. Ever since the Insular cases, all major decisions involving the island have been dependent on acts of Congress. But don't take my word for it. Listen to Harry Truman. I'm going to play a couple of minutes from the Harvest of Empire tape about this, the first early period, because I've divided the colonial development of Puerto Rico into three phases. This is my analysis. Other people may do it a little differently, but there were three phases of U.S. colonial domination of the island. The first phase I would call the classic phase, where the United States sought only to extract resources and largely sugar.
The strange case of Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico was taken as a prize of war, Spanish-American War of 1898, along with Cuba and the Philippines. Cuba and the Philippines were gradually released by the United States. Puerto Rico was not. United States took over Puerto Rico, so did four North American sugar companies. That's what it was all about. Sugar.
Puerto Rico almost blew apart because of the selfish sugar landowners. They owned tremendous tracts of land in Puerto Rico, which they devoted entirely to sugar, then worked these poor people for a dollar a day or 50 cents if they could get them for that, and they'd rather see those people starve. I don't mean to imply that we are in any way cruel to the Puerto Ricans, but there is another kind of cruelty, that's indifference, indifference and neglect.
That was President Truman, his own words, talking about this first classic phase of colonialism. But then, as a result of popular uprisings, the Nationalist Party, all the labor strikes, as a result of the end of World War II and the anti-colonial movements in the world, the United States came up with a new policy, helped by the Popular Party of Puerto Rico, the industrial phase of exploitation. That depended largely on cheap labor, offshore manufacturing centers through New Deal's Operation Bootstrap and corporate tax havens known as the Section 936 benefit. Deliberate mass migration of unskilled workers to the United States, a limited form of self-government and cultural autonomy by creating the Estado Libre Asociado, returning the Spanish language to the public schools, allowing Puerto Ricans to elect their own governors, but still all under the control of Congress, and a social democratic labor policy, Pan, Tierra y Libertad, that was meant to diffuse the revolutionary movements in Latin America and establish the showcase of the Caribbean. It was also marked by the building of a string of military bases as a bulwark of the Cold War. In its early years, the dual policies of industrialization and mass immigration did improve conditions in Puerto Rico. Combined with the carrot and stick approach of granting limited self-government, returning the use of Spanish, and overtly pro-labor policies, the Commonwealth's first social democratic governor, Luis Muñoz Marín, did co-opt and deflect much of the nationalist independence and radical labor movements that had spread in the 1930s. And combined with the infamous Ley de la Mordaza that criminalized any independence activities, this new form of disguised colonialism ushered in limited prosperity. But the miracle evaporated quickly. Annual growth rates dropped from an average of 6% during the 1950s to 4% in the 1970s, and they were stagnant throughout the 1980s. By then, Puerto Rico had become the most profitable entity in the world for U.S. corporations. The cheap labor model, though, started finding greener pastures in China and Bangladesh and Mexico and Vietnam, as they offered even cheaper labor. And so then in 2006, Congress began to phase out the last federal tax loophole for island manufacturers. It actually started in 1996, and this is a fascinating story. 1996, Bill Clinton was trying to run for re-election. He wanted to raise the federal minimum wage. He needed the support of the Republicans in Congress, who were then led by Newt Gingrich, and they controlled the House. So he had to cut a deal with Newt Gingrich to be able to raise the minimum wage. The deal that they cut was that Gingrich would demand $7 billion in tax credits for small businesses to make up for the fact that they would now have to increase the minimum wage. Clinton agreed. Where did the $7 billion come from? It came from the tax credits that had previously been granted to corporations in Puerto Rico under the Section 936. But they didn't do it all at once. They phased it out over 10 years. So they started in 96, and by 2006, the credits were phased out. And as soon as they were all phased out, the companies split. Right? All of the big the manufacturing jobs, the pharmaceutical jobs, left the island. And that has been the beginning of this new phase of colonialism in Puerto Rico, which I call the uber-colonialism phase. Right? The uber-colonialism phase is one marked not by resource extraction, not by cheap labor and industrialization, but by finance capital. The financial system decided, okay, you structurally don't have the money the way this thing is set up to keep running, so we're just going to keep lending you money. That's why you had the explosion of debt, and that's why you had now the peddling of massive bonds. But of course, when the bills come due, then the bankers say, well, you're just going to have to tighten your belts. You're just going to have to reduce spending because you still have to pay us first. So you have to keep reducing spending. And so that is the phase that Puerto Rico is now in, this new phase of finance domination of its economy. Now, we keep hearing that Puerto Rico's in bad shape, that it's requiring all this federal money. Well, the next slide is the most important one for you to remember. It's what's called the gap between GNP and GDP. Right? What does that mean? Okay. Gross domestic product is the value of all the goods produced in your country in a particular area. That's the gross domestic product. GNP is the value of all the goods produced in your country that stay in your country. That stay in your country. So the gap between GDP and GNP is a perfect chart of all the money that is leaving Puerto Rico in the form of profits, largely, overwhelmingly, for American corporations.
Juan Gonzalez on Puerto Rico's debt crisis will come. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. As we return to Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in this major address at New York University about Puerto Rico's debt crisis, what he calls economic collapse in America's biggest colony, and what can be done about it.
In 2010, $33 billion of wealth produced by the Puerto Rican people left the island in just 1 year. In just 1 year, the total debt of the island is $72 billion. But $33 billion is being siphoned every year from Puerto Rico in the profits of the multinational corporations that comes back to the United States. Right? So that is the key to understand. Puerto Rico has always been a gold mine. This is not something new. Between 1960 and 1976, tiny Puerto Rico catapulted from sixth to first in Latin America for total U.S. direct investment, with island workers registering some of the highest productivity levels in the world. The results were levels unheard of profits unheard of at home. By 1976, Puerto Rico accounted for 40% of all U.S. profits in Latin America, more than the combined earnings of all the U.S. subsidiaries in Brazil, Mexico, and Venezuela combined. That was in 1976. By then, several multinationals were reporting a quarter of all their worldwide profits were coming from tiny Puerto Rico. From its 4,000 workers in Puerto Rico alone, Johnson & Johnson saved $1 billion in federal taxes between 1980 and 1990. SmithKline, $987 million. Merck & Company, $749 million. Bristol-Myers Squibb, $627 million. One federal study concluded that each pharmaceutical worker in Puerto Rico produced $1.5 million in value for his or her employer in 2002. Now, they were getting paid maybe $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 back in 2002. They were producing $1.5 million in value for their employers, and all that money was going to the United States. What has actually been happening in Puerto Rico for decades is that corporate America has been raping its most valuable product, human labor. So how did the island's debt mushroom out of control? As I said, the Wall Street was eager with the triple tax exempt, AAA rated, high interest, big returns to press for... one last slide I mentioned. This is a comparison of GNP and of the gap between GDP and GNP as a percentage of your economy. Notice Puerto Rico here in this one, 52% of all the wealth created by Puerto Rico is leaving. Right? Is leaving. Compared to all the other countries, you see, obviously the United States is in negative. It's there's more wealth. It's producing more GNP. But look at all the others, and look at Puerto Rico in terms of the gap between GNP and GDP. So what is the $72 billion debt? How did it come about? Well, this is a summary of some of the biggest, because there are many kinds of bonds. It's a complicated situation, all kinds of interest. But the Commonwealth owns about $13 billion in general obligation bonds. They created all kinds of other corporations that have separate revenue that then pay separate bonds. So the other big one is PREPA. That's the gold, that's the crown jewels of Puerto Rico, is the electric company, PREPA. And it has about $8.3 billion in bonds. Then the Government Development Bank, the Puerto Rico Highway and Transportation Authority, which has obviously toll revenue, and its toll revenue is pledged to pay off those bonds. The Aqueduct and Sewer Authority has that's the water. So the water is pledged. The water revenue, everything in Puerto Rico is already pledged on certain bonds to pay those back before anything else happens. And there are the pension obligation bonds that I mentioned to you before, the $2.9 billion in pension obligation bonds. These are only some. Then there's a bunch of municipalities have their own bonds, and there's other. The convention center has its bonds. Everything in Puerto Rico is bonded, and is owed to someone outside the country. What do the hedge funds have to do with it? Well, the mutual bond companies like Oppenheimer and Franklin Templeton, they're in your 401k, they're in government pensions funds all across the country, huge companies. They've been buying a lot of Puerto Rico bonds for the returns. But they bought the bonds when they were at $100, in other words, at par, what they call par. So they were issued $100 and they bought them then. You saw how the pension bonds went from $100 to 32 cents on the dollar, 32 cents on the dollar. Well, as this financial situation in Puerto Rico declined, the value of the bonds dropped dramatically on Wall Street, and that's when the hedge funds swoop in. The hedge funds swoop in and they buy the bonds from Oppenheimer, Franklin Templeton, or an individual bondholder who has them and says, okay, these bonds are worthless. They're selling now for 32 cents on the dollar. I'll give you 60 cents on the dollar. You get some of your loss back, but then I'll own the bonds. And that's what the hedge funds do. They swoop in times of distress, grab the bonds at discounted rates, but then they want to get paid the full 100%. Right? So because if they do that, or even now with PREPA, the bondholders have offered Puerto Rico a deal. They said, okay, we won't insist on 100%. We'll take 85%. We'll take 85 cents on the dollar. So if one big hedge fund holds out, so what is the $72 billion in debt? How did it come about? Well, this is a summary of some of the biggest, because there are many kinds of bonds. It's a complicated situation, all kinds of interests. But the Commonwealth owns about $13 billion in general obligation bonds. They created all kinds of other corporations that have separate revenue that then pay separate bonds. So the other big one is PREPA. That's the gold, that's the crown jewels of Puerto Rico, is the electric company, PREPA. And it has about $8.3 billion in bonds. Then the Government Development Bank, the Puerto Rico Highway and Transportation Authority, which has obviously toll revenue, and its toll revenue is pledged to pay off those bonds. The Aqueduct and Sewer Authority has that's the water. So the water is pledged. The water revenue, everything in Puerto Rico is already pledged on certain bonds to pay those back before anything else happens. And there are the pension obligation bonds that I mentioned to you before, the $2.9 billion in pension obligation bonds. These are only some. Then there's a bunch of municipalities have their own bonds, and there's other. The convention center has its bonds. Everything in Puerto Rico is bonded, and is owed to someone outside the country. What do the hedge funds have to do with it? Well, the mutual bond companies like Oppenheimer and Franklin Templeton, they're in your 401k, they're in government pensions funds all across the country, huge companies. They've been buying a lot of Puerto Rico bonds for the returns. But they bought the bonds when they were at $100, in other words, at par, what they call par. So they were issued $100 and they bought them then. You saw how the pension bonds went from $100 to 32 cents on the dollar, 32 cents on the dollar. Well, as this financial situation in Puerto Rico declined, the value of the bonds dropped dramatically on Wall Street, and that's when the hedge funds swoop in. The hedge funds swoop in and they buy the bonds from Oppenheimer, Franklin Templeton, or an individual bondholder who has them and says, okay, these bonds are worthless. They're selling now for 32 cents on the dollar. I'll give you 60 cents on the dollar. You get some of your loss back, but then I'll own the bonds. And that's what the hedge funds do. They swoop in times of distress, grab the bonds at discounted rates, but then they want to get paid the full 100%. Right? So because if they do that, or even now with PREPA, the bondholders have offered Puerto Rico a deal. They said, okay, We won't insist on 100%. We'll take 85%. We'll take 85 cents on the dollar. So if one big hedge fund holds out and says, no, that's not enough money, they can paralyze the entire situation. That's why you need bankruptcy protection, to prevent the vulture funds from holding the entire process of settlements up. So how do progressives and all people of goodwill who are concerned about Puerto Rico's future maneuver during the next few weeks and months? How do we figure out what needs to be done? And more importantly, what could be done given the political gridlock in Washington and the deep party divisions in Puerto Rico? First, there is a need to disseminate a clear narrative on the roots of the crisis in colonialism, not in Puerto Ricans being inept, lazy, or seeking a handout. Second, we should unite with all those who say that if Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens, they must be treated in equal fashion when it comes to federal grants, Medicaid, Medicare, bankruptcy laws, and that includes ending the discriminatory requirements of the Jones Act shipping laws. And if Congress refuses to change bankruptcy laws, we should urge the Puerto Rican government to stop paying the debt. The refusal to pay debt service is the greatest leverage Puerto Rico has. And like President Obama with his military options, it should not be discarded. Third, we should oppose debt restructuring that seeks greater austerity, lower wages or working conditions on the island while preserving debt payments for bondholders. And fourth, we should support economic efforts that promote and defend Puerto Rican sovereignty. While we should never stop insisting that only a final resolution of the status question can bring a healthy economy, can make a healthy economy possible, we also should not get stuck on that this has to be resolved now, because we all know it's not going to be resolved now. Last thing I want to address is why sustainable energy is so important to the solution of Puerto Rico's problems. I mentioned to you PREPA, right, the Puerto Rico Electric Company. The reason that Puerto Rico has such high electric bills is that almost all of its electrical capacity is funded through oil. Its generating plants are all run by oil, and all of its oil is imported. So you have the additional cost of importing oil, and you have the enormous extra costs that that Puerto Ricans have to pay for that electricity. The hedge funds, who are now trying to negotiate their separate voluntary deal with the Puerto Rican government, have a plan. If they gain control, they want to switch Puerto Rico from oil to natural gas. They want to create liquefied natural gas ports. They're already building one in the south of Puerto Rico, and they want to then import natural gas, which still requires the importation on an annual basis of the fuel that provides your electricity, and it's also a fossil fuel. So it does nothing to help the situation with the environment. The leading environmentalists in Puerto Rico say that this crisis should be used as an opportunity to totally restructure the way that Puerto Ricans get electricity through sustainable energy. There are actually two sources of sustainable energy that Puerto Rico has immense quantities of: sun and wind. The trade winds are always blowing in Puerto Rico, and the sun is almost always shining. And once you build the structure to capture solar energy and wind energy, you no longer have to pay an annual fee to bring in the product to run your electrical plants. It's a sustainable energy. In addition to that, there is energy efficiency, which has never been done in Puerto Rico, which also produces enormous energy audits of homes. Educating the population can dramatically
Okay, everyone. Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulties. We're back. Now, we need to talk about this. I hope you learned something from this. If you'd like to get in on a conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032, then hit pound 61, and I will see you in queue. Now, this, I played this because it was a lot of things. It was a lot that was said, and it was a lot to grasp. One of the most important things that I wanted you all to be able to see is that this whole thing is fraudulently connived. This whole thing is fraudulently put together. Completely. Completely. If you looked at when he talks about Storm Thurmond and Bob Dole writing, putting in the exclusion of Puerto Rico in the bankruptcy, they purposely do that because they did that because they didn't write anything. Those individuals did nothing but signed it. They were nothing more than yes men. They just signed it. It was the bankers that wrote these laws. They write those same these same laws today. They purposely did that because Puerto Rico had assets. What's the best way to get assets from a person is to get them in debt. And that was the approach that was taken in Puerto Rico. But the thing is this, that same cookie cutter approach is applied to you. It's applied to your 401k plan. It's provided to everything that you do. And it's something that is going to continue to have adverse effects for our overall growth. Scotty, can you hear me? Okay, so not quite sure. If you can hear me, Scotty, just jump up real quick. Why is this so important? If you looked at how everything was done with Puerto Rico, the exact same thing that happened to Puerto Rico happened to Cyprus, happened to Greece, and it's happening to you. One of the things that the vulture hedge fund, that is what's going to demise, because the demise of your 401k plans, your pensions, your savings, everything. Your standard of living, everything. But see, these individuals is nothing more than another name for the whole system and the whole economy working. Because this is all about stealing what they've already stolen from you or covering up what they've already stolen from you. That's what this is all about. And it's going to play itself out in a way that you need to protect yourself for. Let me tell you how. The overall pension funds, you know, like Oppenheimer and everything else that they talked about. Once the, and if you notice, the exact same thing that happened to, that's happening to oil and gas right now, where its par was dropped way below its ability to stay in business and to pay. They did that because of this. Why? They knew that they could come back and buy it when people were insolvent. It's called buying when there's blood on the streets. And they create the blood. And they're going to continue to do that as they've done it in all of the other places. So what happens? These funds come in. These hedge funds come in. They purchase it from one entity, Oppenheimer. They take a loss. And then they turn around and go back to the person that the debt is owed, that who owes the debt, and tells them that they're going to pay the full debt when they've only paid pennies on it. Guess what? If you look, this is what happens to you when you go into collections. They sell your debt. And the person that purchased it wants all of it back. This is why Puerto Rico is going to default. They're going to default because the system wants it to default. I'm going to put it to you this way. The system has created a way for everything. They plan things out way in advance. 200, 300, 400, 1,000 years in advance. We plan week to week, month to month. hour to hour, coupon payment to coupon payment. This is a fully institutionalized fraud that we're dealing with. And when you're in these positions, you have to know from history where you are and to tell you what's the next set of events that are happening or going to happen. Scotty, can you hear me? So, make sure we aren't here. So, what does that mean? That means it's all going to collapse. Basically, why? Because the system wants it to. Why does the system want it to? Because the population is primed for collapse. They already done the math. They've done the algorithms. They know where everything is, and when those markers are struck, they know which plan they need to move into. And right now, it is the plan to collapse. Because the collapse, which you consider a collapse, is a windfall of opportunity for them. And that's what they're going to seize on. That's what they're going to seize on. And that's why it's so important that you know where we are in history and have a strategical plan to respond to it. More than important, more than essential, it is the key to you being free. You're not going to get free by their design. They haven't designed freedom in their plans for you at all. It wasn't chalk. It wasn't drawn up. It wasn't conceptualized. It wasn't thought about. And it won't be executed. The only way that it can is by you. Is by you absolutely engaging in the act of freedom. And there is a strategical way in which to do that. And if you look at this whole thing from what happened, you can see the exact same thing, if you know history, that this happened to in the past and how it applied. And that is exactly what we're seeing now. And the next phase of this is you're going to have everything that is within the system going to default. Hey, Scotty, you there? Made a mistake here. Hold on, everyone. Okay. So, one of the things that's so important for this whole setup is you need to look at a couple of companies. And you need to look at these companies from your standpoint of your 401k plan. That is MBIA, an assured guarantee. They are the ones that are going to, that are backing or ensuring that the bond payers will be paid. And they're the same ones that insure your pension funds. All of the pension funds, and what they do is they create a trap. And they created a bear trap for Puerto Rico. They offered a pie in the sky, windfalls of returns, capital exemption, all of these made up so that everyone will jump into the pool. And once they got into the pool and started gaining those benefits turned into even more debt and more reliance on that standard of living. See, this is the trap that they lay. It's a bear trap. And how you steal people's free will is you first capture their comfort. You capture their comfort, and then that tames their free will. And that's exactly what was done here. So they put out these programs where all everyone could gain from the triple exemption from Puerto Rico, and a lot of people started engaging in it, and they started talking about it, and they started doing well with it, so they thought, not knowing that it was a setup. Now, if you came in at the right time, you could have done well. But if you got addicted to it, which they know you would have never left it. Because the system wasn't made for you to gain, it was made for to be used against you at the appropriate time. And when is that time appropriate? They have their algorithms to tell them when it is. And now it's trending towards the collapse, and it's going to happen. Not their collapse, yours. Especially everyone that is dependent on the system that it was put in place to bring them, to allow them to have a standard of living outside of what they've created. See, the thing is that you may have created different things, but you didn't create the economy, so it has no obligation or allegiance to you. And it's going to trend the way it needs to trend from those that created it, not you. Most important thing for you to do is to learn what it is and where you are in that cycle, because it's totally cyclical. And that is what we're going to do. You know, there's so much in this. We're going to have to play just the end part another day. And then there's so much important. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I made a mistake. It was my fault. Won't happen again. But we're going to have to get ready to get out of here. And before we do, listen, everyone, we're having the actual training, the membership training will start tonight. If you'd like to get involved in that, and I would definitely highly suggest that you all do, so that you can position yourself. The overall cash obligation is very, very low, so that you can do some of the things that you need to do to actually get the assets and the resource. One of the most important things that was said in that whole thing is they talked about resources. They talk about resource, what they wanted to control, and cash that they wanted to give you. And the thing with Puerto Rico is they created such a debt addiction that they knew that the patient would be intoxicated beyond any sober thoughts, balance, or understanding. Guess what? They did the exact same thing to everyone here. They got you addicted to cash, credit, in the economy. And when that economy crashes, you crash with it. Because what actually happens is that it doesn't crash. It throws you off the plane. And it continues to go. And this is what we need to protect ourselves from. So if you're interested in getting in the membership, there's $25. You can sign up today via PayPal, and just the PayPal account is Wolf, W-O-L-F 6 P-A-C-K 1 at gmail.com is the account number with PayPal. Then I will send you the information for today's class, which will happen in roughly 1 hour and 6 minutes. So everyone, I just want to thank you all for listening. Hope you learned something here. That the most important lesson that's here is that the overall economic standing which you have been privy to and have gained from for so long, that rug is going to be pulled under you very quickly. And it's going global because that's what it was designed to do. Okay, everyone, just want to thank you all for listening today. And if you'd like to get in on the Precious Metals, on the membership, you can also text me, 951 770-830-8330, and we'll have enough time within the next hour to get you into the class. So looking forward to working with all of you that signed up for the class. We're going to jump right into it, and there's going to be a lot that you've learned. And everyone else, you still can sign up throughout the week. And we'll get everyone, if you missed today's class, don't worry about it. We will definitely be able to get it to you. Just want to thank you all for listening today. And much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later, God willing. And so we'll talk tomorrow. Take care.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Come.